You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch with Tom Ackerman. You just heard from the group backing Proposition A. If approved by voters in November, it would raise the state's minimum wage and guarantee paid sick leave. We're joined now by Kara Korchus, Interim President and CEO and Senior Vice President of Governmental Affairs at the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Kara, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for having me on.
First off, will you outline the Chamber's position on Prop A?
Absolutely. So the Missouri Chamber of Commerce and Industry, we are opposed to Prop A. Our position is really rooted in our philosophy that in a free enterprise system, businesses should be left to set their own workplace policies and procedures. That's why we always say, let business decide. Again, it's really important that businesses have that ability, and so we think that this new proposition actually threatens their ability in our free enterprise system.
The campaign that put this on the ballot says they have significant support from businesses. What are you hearing from businesses that do not support it?
We are absolutely hearing concerns from businesses across the state about this proposition, specifically that this is going to increase their cost of doing business, that the new paid sick leave portion of this that is in the provision is very confusing and concerning. I think a lot of the airtime on this measure has really been focused on the minimum wage increase, but the paid sick leave provision creates a lot of headaches for employers across the state as well.
What's the confusion over that? What is troubling some of these businesses?
That it really interferes with their ability to set their own workplace policies on paid sick leave. It also is unclear whether does this run on top of FMLA for those that have to comply with federal leave policies, or is this run in addition to that? A lot of those gray areas leads to confusion, also sets up new pathways for employers to potentially get sued in frivolous lawsuits, which is always a concern of ours.
Let's talk about some of the things that the campaign just told me. Number one, they don't believe that this will, for example, cause inflation, cause prices to go up because employers are required to provide that paid time off or higher wages.
We fundamentally disagree with that assessment. And I was just listening to your other interviewee, looking at some anecdotal evidence in California, which is not usually a model that we look to as Missouri in terms of making your state a competitive state to do business in. California increased minimum wage specifically for the fast food industry in April of 2024. Since then, and that's just a few months ago, seen some data that Chipotle, which would be subject to this minimum wage increase in California, raise their cost of food for consumers 6 to 7%. Rubio's, which is another chain across California, shut down 48 locations, specifically citing this wage increase their cost of doing business, and they couldn't keep up. So we really do believe that while the proponents of this measure say that the minimum wage increase is going to help individuals, we think this is likely going to hurt them and hurt their pocketbooks across the state.
What about the argument, though, that if these minimum wage employees are making a little bit more, they're the folks that are going to go right back out there and spend it and pump it back into other businesses in the community?
Well, certainly, you know, we do believe as an organization that employers should be paying competitive wages and benefits. You know, that is really important in a tight labor market. We all see the signs "Help Wanted" on every single main street across Missouri. And so we think that if an employee is not getting the wages that they would like, they probably can go down the street and find a new place of employment that does offer, because again, it's a tight labor market. However, I will say, Megan, that, you know, they're going to potentially make more money, but the prices of groceries, of going out to eat at a restaurant, that is going to increase. And so we don't think they're going to have a net positive gain in wages at the end of the day.
Now, this was an incredibly organized campaign. It has a lot of outside funding, which we spoke about in our last segment. Why was there no coordinated effort among other groups to fight this proposal?
Well, there is a coordinated effort right now. We have joined and we're releasing a statement today with other like-minded business groups, and we are unified in our opposition. That includes AIM, the Associated Industries of Missouri, NFIB, the Retailers Association, the Restaurant Association, and the Grocers Association. But you are right, Megan. You know, they are funded, the proponents are funded by the 1630 fund, which has essentially limitless resources. We do not have limitless resources. And so we're trying to prioritize how do we educate voters in the most cost-effective manner on the dangers associated with this proposition. And so we're really waging a grassroots campaign against it.
Now, the latest SLU YouGov poll shows that 57% of likely Missouri voters do support this measure. What would you say to those voters?
I would say that I hope you read the details, because there's a lot more to this ballot measure than just the minimum wage increase, which we are opposed to. When you talk about paid sick leave, that's a big concern. Also want to hopefully let voters know that, again, at its surface level, it may look good to increase wages, but money just doesn't grow on trees for businesses. They are going to have to increase their cost of goods and services to be able to keep up. And that's going to ultimately raise inflation, which I don't think anyone across Missouri wants.
Now, as I mentioned in the last segment, Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, the current Republican candidate for governor, is opposed to Proposition A, while Crystal Quaid, who is the Democratic candidate for governor in Missouri, has pointed out that, you know, a lot of the argument against this is that, you know, these minimum wage jobs are just for kids starting out, young people starting out. She argues that there are a lot of parents and older workers who also rely on these minimum wage jobs. And the reality is that they are having a hard time finding good quality, high paying jobs in the state that offer them flexibility. What's your response to her arguments?
My response would be, we are in a system of free enterprise. Again, we encourage employers to pay competitive wages and benefits. But in a system of free enterprise, the government should be staying out of the way and not imposing new mandates on employers. And that's what this does. And that really creates a slippery slope. Today, it's wages. What next could be mandated on employers? You know, the other thing I should add is that when we look at other states that have increased minimum wage, it's not, they're not just, you know, shutting down necessarily. They're also cutting jobs or cutting hours, which is going to affect them. Megan, I should add that we do know from the data that the vast majority of minimum wage workers across the U.S. are young adults. And we know that employers are hoping that young adults stay in the workforce so that they learn those soft skills like being able to show up on time and collaborate that are so important. And this minimum wage increase and paid sick leave mandate is going to drive those young people out of the workforce. And so I don't think it's going to set them up for success in a later career without those soft skills that they learn.
I asked our last guest this, and I'll offer this to you. Any final takeaways for our listeners?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I don't think anybody wants to see increased prices. You know, working families are having enough hard time right now trying to keep up with inflation when they look at their grocery bills. This could result in fewer jobs. And then ultimately, again, in our free enterprise system, we think business owners should be able to set their own policies and procedures. Government should stay out of the way. And this is essentially giving more power to the government, which I don't think the vast majority of Missouri voters want to see.
Kara, thank you so much for taking the time this morning to talk with our listeners.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.